County Board of Adjustment back in order, or back to order. Mr. DeMundy, would you like to rebut?
Mike Ryman again. I appreciate the opportunity to come back up. Just like to take a few moments just to go through some of the testimony that you heard from those in the public. Want to begin by, you know, the legal representative that had indicated the study that was provided on silica. Just want to reinforce that the study that was provided was about an occupational study, which had to do with the effects of someone working in a facility every single day. It was not a study of neighboring properties, and in fact, I believe the gentleman had indicated after being questioned that he looked for that, couldn't find any study that showed a negative effect to the surrounding property. So I just want to point that out as well. Some of the folks had referenced cement plant. I heard one gentleman come up and say, well, you know, I looked at a study online and I found a cement plant. I want to be very careful. I argue with my wife all the time when she calls it a cement truck. I always say, it's not a cement truck, it's a concrete truck. Cement and concrete are two different things. Cement is an admixture that mixes with water, aggregate, sand, and other materials to create concrete. Cement and concrete are not the same thing. So we need to be careful when looking at things online and coming across cement plant. They are not the same thing. A cement facility is very, very different. Somebody had asked the question, you know, why wait until, you know, we bought the property in 2008, or Mr. DeMundy bought the property in 2008, you know, why wait? Well, 2008 was a pretty rough time for the construction industry. I think we all remember the housing market had was in serious decline, construction was in serious decline. It was not a great time, and so it took quite some time for that market to rebound. I heard a number of folks say, you know, we need to demonstrate there's no emissions and there's no impact. And, you know, unfortunately, that is not true. That is not what the code says. The code does not say the baseline is zero. The code does not say we can't have an emission or we can't have an impact. The code says that we can't have a significant adverse impact. We can actually have an adverse impact. We can't have a significant adverse impact. The baseline is not zero. And I think that's an important distinction in the code. Someone said, well, the stockpiles aren't going to be sprayed. Well, I think I testified the stockpiles will be sprayed, and we showed the picture of the dust boss showing that atomized water spray would help keep the dust down on the stockpiles. A person on the phone said, Sussex Conservation District has nothing to do with DENRAC. It's just not true. Sussex Conservation District's a delegated agency of DENRAC, period. That's a fact. Some said, well, I don't understand. Why didn't you do a study? Why don't you have a study, or why don't you do samples of to show that this facility is going to be okay? And the answer is that's just not the way the process works. The process works with DENRAC and air quality permitting that you have to go through a multi-step process. You physically have to test the machine on site and actually sample and prove that you're in compliance with the emission requirements of the air permit study. So it is a little bit of a catch-22 situation in that you have to get to that point. We have to get through this land use process to even get to that point. But I assure you that if you do not meet those air quality standards set forth by DENRAC, that state, in order, if you meet these, it's safe, then you do not get your permit, you do not operate. We've implemented a number of measures that really go above and beyond the call here in terms of this site with the machinery itself. State of the art, it's the latest technology, it's not from 1957, it's got all of the added technology by enclosing the operation internal, by having the sprayers that help to keep dust down. We've gone above that and said, we'll put this in a building. I would suggest that that is certainly cutting edge by saying, hey, we're going to do this in a building. We're going to enclose this thing entirely. It's not unusual. Just up the road, there's transfer stations. You may be familiar where there's solid waste and transfer stations. The operation happens inside a building. You can do these types of activities in a building. So it's not impossible. It can be done. We've said we would add additional landscaping around the perimeter. If that was something the board said would provide additional buffer added benefit, we're happy to do that. I think it's important to understand, you know, that this entire operation of this facility, all the materials that are used here are essentially natural materials. We're talking stone, sand, aggregate, etc. The cement itself, which is a product made elsewhere that mixes with those products to ultimately make concrete, is stored inside a silo, not outside, not exposed. And all that operation happens, that mixing operation happens internally before it's discharged into a concrete truck. So that's what we're talking about in terms of the materials. The only issue is the issue of the silica that everybody has raised. And I submit much of the conversation had to do with folks, working, you know, in a facility. There's not been any evidence that's been presented that even being near a concrete plant where crushing activity happens is harmful. Someone had mentioned, there's no way Bridgeville Heritage Shores will build out this community. We won't be able to finish, and our bond's going to go bad, and our special tax district, et cetera. I mean, that's a fair concern. I appreciate that, but I would submit, look at the plant in Lewis of Atlantic Concrete that was there for decades, and yet Lewis built up all the way around. In fact, directly next to that facility. It never stopped any housing development in the city of Lewis around that facility, much, much closer than anything we are talking about here. Lastly, I think it's important that, you know, we don't use Google to decide what we do here. We have a process. That process starts with a comprehensive plan. It then goes to zoning, then goes to site plan. It goes through your code. We look at agency permits such as DLDOT and the Conservation District and the Fire Marshal and all of the interdepartment of Sussex County. And then it ends with an actual operational permit from DENREC. It's a multi-step process that is over a long period of time. That is the process that we should follow. That is the process that we are following here before you. The standard itself is not zero impact. We are a properly zoned site. It has been that way for many, many years. You heard the legal representative say, well, you know, my client maybe might want to buy this property and maybe might want to develop in a housing community if maybe they rezone it. That's quite a lift for my client who stood here since 2008, owned this property, which was zoned since 1988. Those two things are not equivalent. So with that, if I miss anything,
Mr. Yeah, just a couple additional comments and we'll give it a rest. A clarification, the property to the north is the property I own. That's CR. I mean, it's commercial one. That's the property that I testified earlier that we plan to do a combination of either just straight flex warehouse space or do a combination of flex warehouse space and mini storage. Also, another comment, I heard quite a few comments about traffic. This project and this site was taken to DLDOT multiple times. And basically, the design that comes on and off this site is about as max as DLDOT. I mean, DLDOT ran us through the ringer about what we plan to do here, what type of traffic, what kind of truck traffic, and this will be a major upgrade to that section of the highway. So we leaned on, well, we didn't lean on, DLDOT told us how they wanted it done, and basically that's the design that's been approved by DLDOT on the site. One final comment, when we talk about cement, cement is a byproduct itself among crushing. It just depends on what type of stone that you're crushing. So, for example, you can have a certain type of, you can have limestone can make cement, you can have other different types of stone that you can crush. Interesting enough, limestone, which is crushed, and can be part of a cement complex, is the same lime that goes, I was hearing the testimony about the fields and the agriculture and everything. It's the same lime that goes on the fields, gets on the fields twice a year. And I would strongly suggest that the lime that's put down by the farmers is much more than the dust that's going to be created from this particular site. We all know when I've got video of farmers dusting their fields with lime, and that dust is far more than anything that we're talking about will come off of our site. So I just think we just need to make sure that we have a clarification on what we're trying to control on this site and doing everything we can possibly do to mitigate it from even becoming dusty, and then if it does, to be able to do everything we could do to control it. That's it. Thank you.
Questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
No questions?
Mr. Foreman, I did have a couple.
Mr. Sharp?
Just to follow up on a few questions. There was discussion about aggregate delivery to the plant. Is the recycled concrete intended to also be used on site such that you would not be receiving additional aggregate, or is it to be shipped off site when it's
completed? No, because of its inherent nature, the crushing, it doesn't meet the DLDOT and doesn't meet standards or just regular industry standards, ASTM standards, to go in the concrete mix. So that has to be actually crushed stone that goes into it. This particular byproduct from the crushing will go out for road base. It's a replacement for crush and run is basically what it is.
Okay, so it's going to be shipped off site. It's not used in your manufacturing product.
That's correct, yes, sir.
I wasn't quite sure on that.
Yes.
There was also questions about if this is enclosed, the cleaning on the inside of the building and how that is handled. Do you have any insight into how that will be addressed?
Well, once again, I mean, we're pretty confident that the equipment that we've selected keeps the dust down. I mean, that's the whole idea. It's over $1 million piece of equipment. So the idea is that it's designed to minimize it to begin with. I can't sit here tonight and say, you know, exactly what and how the building's going to be cleaned. Does it get power washed? I mean, that creates more water. And we originally started this process that this was going to be outside. Now we're talking about putting it inside. So I don't have a direct answer of a cleaning schedule for the building itself.
Well, and I think just to be clear on that, I think it's our opinion and it's our testimony that suggests, at least we submit, that it doesn't need to be in a building to comply with the county code. It can be outside and comply with the county code based on the noise study that we showed you, based on the air quality permitting standards of DENREC, based on all the approvals that we already have, et cetera. We don't believe that the building is necessary in order to comply with the requirements of the county code. That being said, we are attempting to be as respectful as possible to the testimony that we got from the folks behind me to go the extra mile to go ahead and enclose this thing and give people more comfort that it will be even better.
The other question that I had, there was a question about the possibility of enclosing the stockpiles. Is that something that's feasible, and if so, would that mitigate some of these issues with noise and dust that perhaps?
Yeah, unfortunately not. I mean, obviously the ready mix plan it's got site plan approval. Those aggregates, which is stone, sand, will not be covered. I mean, this will just be another product in a storage bin.
They'll be enclosed on three sides, but they won't have a
top.
Okay, just to make sure we're
clear. Yeah, I wasn't sure. If that was something that could be done or was discussed or not. So I want to make sure we clarify that point. All right, I have no further questions.
Why couldn't that be done?
Expense. It's never been done. I mean, I don't know of any concrete plant, unless you're in the northern climate and up in Maine or harsh environments where they would want the stone and sand to be heated so it's not frozen when it goes in the mix, which can be detrimental to our concrete mixture. Other than that, you know, you get below the line up there, you know, New York on down, most people don't protect.
Well, you got to be able to load it into the bins.
Well, part of the issue is the stocking of the material too, because you try and load it as tall as you possibly can in those bins, in the back of the plant, in those bins that we have. So to do that would be quite an extensive of a building structure.
Yeah, the only other thing I wanted to add, I didn't say in my closing remarks, was this. Don't want to gloss over this. That this is not a 365 day. 7 day a week operation. It is our proposal is to condition it at a maximum of 75 days. We're okay with that. We added that in our presentation that this would be limited to 75 total days of the year, not including Sundays. Sundays would not be permitted. It would only be 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. So that's open for discussion, but that's our proposal that we have on the table as well. I don't want people to think that this is not a full-time 365 day a year activity with the crushing.
There may be a question for clarification, because there was conversation about truckloads coming in and the in and out from that standpoint, and you have a limit of, I'm going to call it 276 trips in
half in, half out.
Correct. 276, well, it's 276 plus 26, I think.
Right.
Yeah. So, let's call it 300.
Okay, so we're talking the potential of 300 trucks. Let's say 150, right?
Mm-hmm.
150 in, 150 out, 75 days.
Mm-hmm. No, because the entrance is designed for, we're talking about, so just distinction, the crushing is the 75 days.
Okay.
The batch plant is, that's separate, it's happening no matter what.
Okay.
It's, I don't know what the hours are of that, but.
Normal business hours.
Normal business hours. But, so when I talk about the 75 days, I'm talking about just specifically using that piece of equipment to crush concrete.
And the estimated number of trucks per day for those 75 days?
It's pretty low.
I think you testified earlier it was between 26 to 30.
I mean, I think our approved plan for the concrete side of things was 26 to 30 trucks a day on average. And what's on our plan includes that crushing activity inside in that mix.
And I think it's circling back to Mr. Sharp's question that earlier in the evening, your permitting includes crushing or doesn't include crushing?
Yeah, the trips are capped at the trips, and so it is anticipated the crushing is in that. And keep in mind, some of the material that's being crushed are the trucks returning that are part of the concrete activity anyway. So
let's say this does not get approved. What do you do with the concrete that comes back on the trucks?
Okay, so that's $1 million question. So what happens a lot in concrete plants depend on how much they want to spend money. You'll see a lot of producers will have forms, which are the concrete blocks that they're filled with the concrete, and those become the barriers that you see a lot in aggregate storage bins. That's number one. Number two, there can be an installation of some very extensive recycling operations that basically separate the cement slurry from the mix, and you end up getting sand and stone on the other side that gets actually, believe it or not, gets reused in the mix if it's clean enough. The slurry mix sometimes can even be recycled also, so it gets sucked out of a pond system and goes back into the plant and actually adds as the batch water back again into the mix. So those are a couple ways. Or the third is archaic, but it's still being done. It's still approved by DLDOT. You have a series of pit systems. The mixer comes back, drops on the pad. It's level pond. Well, it's unlevel ponds. They kind of go downhill, and the water kind of flows on through, and the water gets pure at the other end, gets thrown back to the batch plant, and then the sand and stone mixture gets scooped by a loader and gets sold as basically kind of like a construction fill material.
So if this doesn't happen, you have to do one of those other options?
Yeah, we'll have to either do them in forms, we'll have to set up a recycling system, buy a recycling system, or set up a pond system. That's correct.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else you'd like to add?
No, we appreciate your time and that's it. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you. All right. At this time, I will close the public hearing for case 12789 for FDPN Management LLC. And I'll entertain a motion.
Put them back in there.
Gentlemen, if we need to think on this for another meeting or two, we can.
Mr. Chair, I move that we deny case number 12789 for FDPN Management LLC for the requested special use exception, pending a final written decision based upon the record made during the public hearing. Because the applicant has failed to demonstrate the special use exception will not substantially affect adversely the uses of the neighboring and adjacent properties.
Second.
A motion and a second. Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Mr. Werfel?
Aye.
Dr. Carson?
Aye for my reasons.
And I too, so with a vote of 4-0, the case is denied. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion. Second.